Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve.
You're listening to Weird Medicine. Weird Medicine on 202. Is that his theme song?
I don't think it is, but I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent to Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve.
It's Weird Medicine, or in Bengali, a job chikitsa.
Or in wind.
I'm Dr. Or with teeth chattering. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, P.A. John. Hello, John.
Hello, Steve.
We have with us in the studio no one.
Absolutely.
We're going old school tonight, my friend. Old Dr. Steve and P.A. John, no Todd, double nut Todd, no
lawyers.
Jefferson the shyster, no throb from Elizabeth, and no studio audience.
Nope.
A couple of things. E-Rock called us tonight while we were doing our terrestrial show and said, gee, can you guys do a show for us this weekend? I've got to have it by tomorrow. And, we figured, what the hell? We need to practice anyway, because we are getting ready to do our big live extravaganza November 7th on XM Sirius Radio 202/197, 9 to midnight on the Saturday Night Virus. You don't want to miss that. We have got so much crap packed into that show, I don't know if we're going to get it all done. Plus, we have a ton of phone calls to do. So
yeah.
Everybody gear up, get your dialing fingers ready, and get ready to call in November 7th, 9 to midnight. Welcome to the first and still only uncensored medical program in the history of radio. We will answer your medical questions, talk about hemorrhoids, testicles.
Feces.
Bowel problems.
Yeah, I'm looking for other
anything and everything. Well, yeah, pretty much that's the mainstay, but on occasion we venture out.
Well, basically we wax eloquent about the state of healthcare today as well, and this is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
If you're new to this show, we try to deal with medical problems honestly, with plain language, and with no limitations regarding content. And it's not that we're always dropping the F-bomb.
Right.
I mean, this is the thing. E-Rock is a supporter of our show, and he works on Saturday Night, and Danny Ross is in charge of Saturday Night Virus. And they would go to their bosses and say, well, we got this show, this doctor show, and, it's really cool because Dr. Steve can say the F word and he can say shit and all this stuff. And it's like, dudes, that's not what's great about this show.
Right.
It's not so much that we're dropping the F-bomb. It's that our listeners can call in and ask anything they want to and not worry about how they ask the question.
Right.
And now, I mean, we're not above, by any means, saying fuck or shit when it's appropriate. In any means. But when we answer our questions, we try to be a professional to a degree.
Right.
But to be approachable and to say things in plain language so people can understand them.
Right.
And if it means saying ass crack instead of,
gluteal fold
or perirectal area, then, we'll say ass crack. But anyway, so that's the story with that. And if you have a medical question, you might be embarrassed to take it to your regular medical provider. number one, don't be embarrassed to take it to your regular medical provider. But there are some questions out there that you just figure, well, I'd really like to know the answer to that, but I really don't want to ask my doctor, and it's not life or death. Feel free to give us a shout at drsteve202@gmail.com. That's drsteve202@gmail.com, or visit the Weird Medicine Forum at ronfez.net, or call our voicemail line at 423-343-8884. That's
423-DIE-TOOTIE.
We're also on Twitter at Weird Medicine, so it's twitter.com/weirdmedicine. You're not on Twitter, are you?
Absolutely not.
You can follow Double Vasectomy Todd, who will be... will make history on XM 202 Sirius 197 on November 6th on the Opie and Anthony show if the lawyers allow us to do this bit that we're going to do. I will say no more about it. That's as much of a tease. But you will want to follow Double Vasectomy Todd on Twitter. His Twitter is www.twitter.com/DBLVASTODD. That's Double Vas Todd. And if you find it easier to find me on Twitter at Weird Medicine, just send me a tweet and I'll give you a link to Double Vasectomy Todd's Twitter site. We can't mention certain other things that we used to mention at this point in the intro. Just let me say go to drsteve.com, and if you happen to see a link that might take you to places where you might find things that you might be interested in, feel free to do so. Other than that, I can't mention anything else. Isn't that something? See, we're
it's hard to not get into it.
It is really hard to not get into it. We're going to get into it. I think we'll probably get asked about it, but we're in contract negotiations with SiriusXM. We've been doing this all this time. Yeah. Never, no contract, nothing. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, when we started XM, I assumed that we would have to sign some sort of agreement.
Or a waiver.
Or anything. That just, yeah, a waiver, a hold harmless agreement, something that would say, look, just don't get us in trouble. Nothing. We just walked into the studio show, and we're working on our third year, and it's just all of a sudden that the all-seeing eye of Sauron has noticed us. And now we have to sign contracts and things.
You do.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, that's true. You know, you can do anything you want to do.
That's right.
Because for some reason you got out of that part of it. They're all focusing on me, even though you and I have been partners in this from the beginning.
It's because I'm the Ed McMahon of Weird Medicine.
Yeah, I guess. It is. I don't know how you got out of that, but anyway, they threw the contract at me. And of course, they're paying us nothing. They want to own everything and pay us nothing, so that's fine. I mean, that's what any good lawyer would do for their corporation.
Right.
Try to get everything for free and own everything. So
right.
We'll see. But anyway, so there are certain things we can't mention. And also, this show will not be put on our website because we're no longer allowed to do that. So
this is it.
Well,
what you get is what you get.
BitTorrent. So anyway, please remember, we are not your healthcare providers. Check out anything you hear from us with your regular doctor, PA, nurse practitioner, acupuncturist, yoga instructor, chiropractor, high colonic administrator, or whatever. So anyway.
All right.
Well, listen, a couple of things. Don't forget November 7th.
Right.
9 to midnight, Saturday Night Virus. We will be there. One of the things that we wanted to talk about a little bit was the H1N1 virus. It's becoming a story again because flu season is coming around, and we're going to start seeing seasonal flu along with H1N1. And where we are right now, as of this recording, we have an uptick in the number of cases, and they're still mostly swine flu cases, H1N1 cases. During the week of October 4th through 10th, visit for doctors for influenza-like illnesses, which is what we don't test everybody anymore. We saw so much of this that anybody with a fever and influenza-like illness, we just called them influenza-like illness and assumed that they were swine flu during the summertime. A lot of people were still tested, and just about everybody that was tested that was positive for influenza had H1N1 flu. And their overall visits for influenza-like illnesses are higher than what is expected for this time of year. And it's equal to or higher than what is seen at the peak of many regular flu seasons. What are you laughing about?
I'm just laughing because I was actually looking at the website today, the CDC.
Yep.
And I couldn't understand a lot of what it was saying, especially with some of the graphs. So I was just sitting here thinking, you're reading this, and I'm thinking, I'm in the medical field, and I couldn't understand what they were talking about, especially the graphs with the ages that it was being affected.
Yeah, it is confusing. This virus probably came through in the 70s. And I remember when Gerald Ford was president that there was a swine flu epidemic that came through. And I remember that a lot of people ended up getting this thing that comes after influenza called Guillain-Barré syndrome. And that's also called ascending neuritis. And it's a pretty scary thing where you lose nerve or you lose control of the nerve starting at the feet and working, and it slowly works its way up. And it can get up to a certain level and then just back off and go away. Well, if it works its way up far enough, then all of a sudden you lose control of the areas that cause you to breathe, and you end up on a ventilator. And if you survive that, it'll eventually, for the most part, go away in most cases. But I remember a lot of cases of that back then. And I think a lot of the people that were exposed then are actually immune to this virus, because the people who are dying from this virus tend to be young adults, and the people over 65 are just not getting it in the amounts that you would expect if it was a truly novel virus, because usually you're looking at pregnant women, people with chronic diseases like diabetes or emphysema or cancers or immune disorders, and people over 65 and little teeny kids. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing in this one is not so much in the over 65 group. So they may have some herd immunity where they've been exposed to this virus before. The proportion of deaths that are attributed to pneumonia and influenza based on reports in 122 cities definitely increased, and it exceeds what's normally expected at this time of the year. We had 11 flu-related pediatric deaths just this week. So, people need to get vaccinated. We have a shortage of vaccine. It's rolling out late, but as soon as it's available, get it. There are two kinds of vaccine. There's the flu mist type vaccine, which is actually a live virus, and it's a weakened virus. They spray the stuff up your nose, and you actually get a mild case of influenza. But for a lot of people, it's completely they don't have symptoms. But you can get influenza, and you can spread that virus to other people.
Right.
So they only recommend that for healthy individuals, and I think it's from age 2 to 49. And it is pretty widely available. And then there's the killed vaccine. That's the flu shot. And the flu shot was rushed through. There's no question about that. So people are wondering, is it safe? Well, it was rushed through, but it was rushed through using the same techniques that the regular seasonal flu was produced through. So it shouldn't be any less safe than the seasonal influenza vaccine that they make every year. It may not provide immunity from swine flu, though. That's the thing that they didn't have time to test. So we will see.
Mm-hmm.
I am definitely recommending it for people that fall into the groups that are at high risk for complications. Healthcare workers have got to get it because they're the ones who can spread it. Definitely pregnant women, young kids, and young adults need to get vaccine. Mm-hmm. And then if you get the flu, you may need to take medication for it. You may not.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of people, this has been a really mild thing, but there are those few people that have a real severe case, they need to be treated with antiviral medication. And anybody like a diabetic, like if you got influenza, I would go ahead and treat you because you're at risk for complications from influenza.
Oh, absolutely.
So anybody that's got a chronic illness or anything like that definitely needs to be treated if they get influenza.
It was interesting. Again, I don't know why I was on there today looking at it, but some of the widespread versus just localized areas, the Northeast, Maine, local, Rhode Island, local, South Carolina, local, not widespread. Everywhere else, even in Hawaii, widespread.
Yeah, it's pretty widespread in about 40-plus states right now.
Yeah, so. 41, I think.
Okay.
Why not South Carolina?
I don't know.
That's just weird.
Dude.
Because it's, you know...
That's one of the... A why question is unanswerable.
Yeah, but...
It just simply is.
It's curious to me to think.
There are a lot of rural areas in South Carolina, and maybe. It may be that it can't jump from one community to the other because they're spread apart. Hell, I don't know.
Oh, dude. That's a good answer.
Okay, thank you.
I'll accept that answer.
All right.
Moving on. Well, I'm glad we've answered that one.
Hey, Dr. Steve, P.A. John, and Double Vaz, you know. Anyways, Shannon from South Florida. And I wanted to ask you a question about nipple hairs. Well, not necessarily hairs coming out of your nipples, but...
Well, what other kind of nipple hairs are there? Wait a minute.
See, I don't have any...
Wait a minute. She wants to ask about nipple hairs.
But not exactly hairs that come out of the nipple.
Right. Yeah. Let me hear. I want to make sure I heard that right.
See, I don't have any, but like these girls were talking about the bathroom this weekend, and they were talking about one says she plucks them, one says she shaves them, and anyways, I was thinking I don't have them. So my question, I guess, is that one of those genetic things, like the hair... and between your fingers and your thumb and
what?
Either straight or bent or whatever. Is that so? Are hairs around your nipples, is that a genetic thing or not? Okie doke. Well, until next
here
time.
Here comes the uncomfortable silence.
Bye bye.
Okay.
Hairs between your fingers.
What the hell is she talking
about? And
bent
thumbs. What the?
She raises an interesting question, and the answer, of course, is yes, it's all genetic.
Yeah.
Now, you know, some people are predisposed to have men are predisposed to have hairy chests. Some are completely hairless, and it's just one of those things. It's interesting that we do tend to have hair in common areas, like
right.
the face. The top of the head, pubic area, and ass crack for a lot of people.
Right.
And then other places, just sort of variable. And some women do have hairy nipples. And I think the more interesting question is, what do you do about it? If you shave it, you're going to have nipple stubble.
Stubbles.
I think that's uncool, especially when you got somebody's mouth wrapped around it. You know, they're going to feel the stubble. So even soft hair, if you cut it really close to the skin, will develop stubble. So I think that's a bad idea. Plucking definitely is more like waxing. And so if you continue to pluck it, eventually the follicle will weaken and you'll get softer hair, but it won't make the hair completely stop.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably the trick for this would be laser. It would be very inexpensive. Some of these new laser machines will seek out hair follicles and destroy them. And as long as it's not blonde hair, it's really effective at killing the follicle. Now,
I were going to go to somebody that were going to laser the nipple hair off of my nipples, I would want to go to somebody that was like Dr. Evil off of...
Okay, why?
We're going to laser your nipple hair. Ta-da!
That could be interesting. I think, it would be something that Dr. Evil would be interested in participating in. It's the equipment they have looks like something out of Austin Powers movie. No question about that. It's a big, giant thing. And the laser will only kill... follicles that are actively growing, and only a quarter of your follicles are actively growing at any time. Now, if you only got 10 nipple hairs, like a whole back, if you have somebody do your back, costs about $300. So doing just 10 hair follicles around your nipple might cost you $50. to do. And you might have to go in two or three times to get them all. But then they will be gone, and they will not come back and without any scarring or disfigurement. So I think that might be the way to go. What? You still laughing?
Yeah, I'm still thinking, yeah.
Hi, my name is Jennifer. I'm 37 years old, and about 2.5 years ago, I had a baby. And ever since I had that baby, I have been having severe pelvic pain. It's gotten worse over the last year. I have been on pain management for quite a while now, but even taking 80 milligrams of OxyContin doesn't always take all the pain away.
Yikes.
So I have had a hysterectomy because the doctors thought that maybe it was something, you know, with my uterus, but I had a full hysterectomy, tubes and ovaries out, and I'm still in pain. It's been about 8 months since I had that surgery done. So I really wonder what it could be. And
okay. Well, pelvic pain is the one of those things that sends shivers up the spine of obstetric gynecologists. You know, once you've whacked out the uterus and you've taken out the ovaries, and then the, you know, there isn't much left there, and the patient still has pain, you've really got a problem. You know, she could have some nerve damage in her pelvis, and it could have happened when the from the passage of the baby. Could have been a procedure they did. I don't know if they did a forceps delivery or something. And going to an anesthesiologist that specializes in pelvic pain might be the way to go, because they can do a nerve block in the pelvis that would actually probably make her pain go away.
Yeah.
You know, if 80 milligrams of OxyContin 3 times a day won't do it, it is most likely nerve pain. Because nerve pain, or what we call neuropathic pain, doesn't always respond real well to standard narcotic therapy. It's just a different kind of pain. And there are other medications, like there's a thing called gabapentin or Neurontin that works pretty well. Methadone might be better for her than oxy. And I'm not necessarily I'm just throwing out some ideas, because methadone is good for neuropathic pain.
Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
That's right. Quote the great Ronnie B.
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
Thank you, Ronnie B.
That's right.
But methadone is a narcotic that also helps with neuropathic pain. It does more for nerve pain than a regular, say, Lortab or oxycodone or something like that will do, because it hits a different receptor.
I would be curious to
be
know.
Technical, it's the NMDA receptor. It doesn't matter. There's no quiz on this. But there, just know that there's a receptor that is responsible for part of nerve pain, and methadone is a medication for that. But I'd go for the nerve block.
Yeah, I'd want to know if she had any other symptoms, urinary problems, anything like that, if the pain was localized into one certain area. But she said 2.5 years ago since she'd had the child, and then she's continued to just have continued pain.
Right. And, you know, we have to take these calls at face value and answer them just basically on our impression of what they're saying, because we can't ask follow-up questions. So I'm assuming that this is constant severe pain in the pelvis.
Especially if it's OxyContin, 80 milligrams 3 times a day. Yes. Oh, yeah, I would expect
unresponsive to that. Right. So it's almost got to be a nerve. I'd see an anesthesiologist, see if they could do a pelvic nerve block.
Or pain management specialist.
Right. Well, they're usually anesthesiologists. Okay. So, but, yeah, she said she's in pain management, but it may not be somebody that
they
does
can do
procedures.
The inject, yeah.
Right. So she might seek that out. And, you know, there are pain guys out there that do some really tricky stuff that can really help people, but you got to seek them out. Because, and your doctor may not even be aware of those people. Because, you know, pain is not one of those things that we're taught about in medical school. I had one lecture on pain through 4 years of medical school and 3 years of residency. And that is just pathetic. And that's why a lot of doctors out there are afraid to prescribe pain medicine or prescribe it incorrectly, and why a lot of patients are out there suffering, and then there's other patients out there that are getting handfuls of medicine and selling it on the street, And, you know, it's just a mess. We just have not had a good coordinated approach to pain in this country.
Mm-mm.
And it's something that we really need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see what else we got here. And, by the way, we're kind of practicing for our show. We did no show prep. Like we said earlier, E-Rock called, if you weren't listening at the very beginning, E-Rock called us 5 minutes ago and asked us if we could do a show for this week. And when we're on the air, we really don't have the opportunity to research answers for things. And so we're just kind of winging it tonight,
yeah.
And we're taking these calls in random order, too.
And actually, since we didn't do any show prep, how about we give a shout-out to the P.A. John 7th Annual Halloween Party that's going on right now.
Absolutely.
Live.
Let's talk about that. P.A. John has a killer party right around Halloween every year. I first went to it. Gosh.
7 years ago. You were the first.
Is that right? Was it seven years ago?
Yeah. You've been to every single one.
And John was dressed in some whore outfits. What was she called? Anita Johnson.
Anita Johnson. That's right.
And he was singing. And this, I had just met him, and he was singing I Will Survive or I'm So Excited or something like that on the karaoke machine. And it was so atonal.
Oh,
and awful. Horrible. And I thought, this guy has got the greatest sense of humor of anybody I've ever met.
And
I mean,
kept
this
doing
is just
it.
Fucking brilliant. And here's this dude dressed up as a chick in this horrible, you know, prostitute outfit singing I Will Survive in this atonal way that was just so awful. He had to be doing it on purpose. And then I noticed that as the night went on, he continues to sing in this atonal way, and it's
that's
just
that's the only way I can sing.
It's just, that's just the way John sings. So, my estimation of your sense of humor dropped a little bit, but I still thought you were.
It was funny.
So anyway, we've been friends ever since.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that party is going on right now,
yep.
And hopefully, if things go and I'm sure they will not go the way that we planned, people are actually
listening to the show,
sitting around the radio listening at this party where all these women are half dressed. I don't think anybody's actually going to be listening to our show. You and I will be sitting outside in the cold listening.
Yeah, where the women are inside half dressed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because we're a couple of fruits on the radio. So, hi, John. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Dr. Steve. I am in constant, horrible discomfort because I'm always itchy. My balls are non-stop itchy. And I know it's not crabs. I've gotten myself checked several times. I've gotten, you know, everything. I take chunks out of my scrotum scratching. What is it?
It's old chunky scrotum.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude.
How could you take chunks out of your scrotum scratching that
bad?
Scratching. Something has got to be.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just chronically inflamed. He needs some ointment.
Some ointment.
He needs some utter balm or something.
Okay, let's talk about the things that can make your balls itch. He talked about one of them, which is crabs. Crabs are lice.
Yeah.
And they're pretty easy to get rid of. I mean, it's a bug,
mm-hmm.
and you just have to kill them. You can use insecticide. You can use mayonnaise. You just coat your pubes in mayonnaise and leave it for 10 minutes, and they'll die because they breathe through their skin. And then you just take a little knit comb and comb them out. You know, one of those combs with the little tiny teeth,
mm-hmm.
and then comb it out, and then wash yourself, because now you have mayonnaise on your ball.
Mayonnaise balls.
The
mayonnaise balls is big.
Well said, my friend. What a dumbass. That's P.A. John, everybody. Man, these balls are itchy.
Man, these balls are itchy.
All right. So that's one thing. But he already said he got checked for that. So what I'd be interested in is if he can see anything. Is there a rash there?
Mm-hmm.
If there is no rash, then hell, I don't know what the hell he has. But if there is a rash, it could be a couple of things. One, it could be a yeast infection or mm-hmm. a fungal infection. There's a thing called tinea cruris, which is a fungal infection. It could be one of several different fungi, and it gets right in the hair follicles and gets down in there and just starts eating away at the nut skin, and it is unbelievably itchy. And regular yeast medicine may not take care of it. You may need special medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So a dermatologist or your primary care provider could treat that. One of the things they may do is take a black light to it. So you turn out the lights, you whip your nuts out, and then you turn the black light on. Okay, and you do this in the doctor's office, so it's cool. And if it lights up a beautiful salmon pink, it's a disease called erythrasma. Now, erythrasma can be really itchy, and it's actually a bacteria, and you have to treat it with antibiotics. Regular antifungal stuff won't work for it.
Hmm.
So, and I've diagnosed one case of that in my life, but I looked like a genius because I had paid attention in dermatology class. But it's the most beautiful salmon color.
Hmm.
These nuts just glowing in the dark. So
there's going to be two black lights at my party, so
yeah.
We'll do free
exams.
We'll
be whipping some nuts out and checking everybody out for erythrasmas. All right. What else we got? Well, check this guy out.
That's a good idea.
Hey, Steve. I banged a girl, and turns out she had warts. Long story short, she said...
I thought he was going to say, I banged a girl, and I liked it. Was it a surprise?
So she had warts. Long story short, she said that I won't get warts, and that I'll be okay, and, like, warts only happen on girls. But I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about that, because... I don't really need cauliflower growing on my ball bag. Appreciate it, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah. Popcorn penis.
Dr. Steve,
whoa.
You're a douche. Broadcast live.
Okay. I remember this guy.
Suck a dick.
We got to play that again. He called in during our last show and thought we were live.
Yeah.
I don't know who he thought he was talking to. Right? So he asked this question, which is a great question, by
right.
the way. But then at the end, we were talking over him. I want to play that again.
Dr. Steve, you're a douche. Broadcast live. Answer my question. Suck a dick.
And, you know, I take that as a compliment. I don't know. for some reason, I don't take that in a negative way. I don't think, you know, these people call up and they, a lot of times I cut them off, or I cut that part off, but at the end of their phone call will always be, your wine sucks. How do they know? But it's just fun to say it.
Okay.
So we will be broadcasting live November 7th.
That's right.
9 to midnight, and we will have Double Vasectomy Todd. We will have Jefferson the Lawyer. Rob from Elizabethan will be there. We are going to make history on Opie and Anthony on November 6th if the lawyers will let us do our bit.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned for that. And you will want to follow Double Vasectomy Todd on Twitter. That's Twitter.com/DBLVASTODD. Yeah, Double Vas Todd. And he'll actually be checking Twitter, and we'll be answering questions from Twitter during the show as well. We're going to try it. It'll probably be stupid. But so let's get back to this guy's question.
Cauliflower.
Let's break it down into parts. First, he says that he had sex with a woman that had vaginal warts. Then he said that she told him that he can't get warts because they only happen to girls.
Right.
Okay. And then he went on to ask, hey, tell me the truth because I don't want to have popcorn penis or whatever. But... so he knew that that wasn't right.
Right.
Of course, he still screwed her anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, you know. So here's the thing. Genital warts are caused by a virus called human papillomavirus, which also causes cervical cancer. So it's a sexually transmitted disease that definitely women can get and definitely men can get. And if you're exposed to the virus through sexual contact, you can get the warts just like the other person had, and then you can turn around and transmit them to somebody else. The problem with it is just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. That's the creepy thing about it. First off, try not to have sex with people that have visible warts, because even condoms may not protect you against that, because the pores in there are pores in condoms, but they're so small, bacteria can't get through them. But viruses may be able to. Okay, so herpes virus and human papillomavirus may be able to get through a condom. It's probably still provides some barrier. So I would be careful. If someone has visible warts, I wouldn't have sex with them myself. They need to go and get them treated. This can be treated. I mean, OBGYN can take care of a woman's vaginal warts. And if she has them on the outside, they can be removed surgically. They can be removed with chemicals. Guys, if you got cauliflower dick, that can be treated with a couple of different chemicals. There's one that can be done in the doctor's office called podophyllin, which is applied in the doctor's office, and it causes an intense reaction. You don't want to be jerking off or having sex for a while because it will hurt. But then they'll fall off, and then they're pretty much gone for good.
The warts, not the penis.
Right, the warts. Thank you. Yes, the warts. And then there is Condolox, which is something. It's kind of like podophyllin. You take it home, though, and you apply it yourself. And we've also talked about the aceto white test, where you take white vinegar and take a gauze wrap, you know, just a string of gauze,
mm-hmm.
and take white vinegar, mix it 50-50 with distilled water, if you can find it. Tap water is okay too, and soak the gauze in that, and then wrap it around your schlong and leave it for 5 minutes and unwrap it. And any places that are little small discrete areas that are white are small genital warts, and you can apply the medicine, either Aldera, which you have to get a prescription for, or Condolox, which you also have to get a prescription for. Mm-hmm. There's really nothing over the counter that works for this. So prevention is the key. If you see somebody that's got warts, don't have sex with them. Get them to go get treated, and then go have all the sex with them you want. And if you've been exposed, get yourself checked. If you notice anything, get it removed before it turns into a big chunk of cauliflower.
Is there a laser that you can use to laser them off?
Sure.
I think Dr. Eva would be into that. We're going to laser your penis.
1 million warts. Hey, some people have called us and asked us to play the Dr. Steve theme, Paging Dr. Steve by Sherman Sleeves, and thought since this was a toss-together show that we would take 3 minutes and go ahead and play it.
Excellent.
We've never actually played the whole song on the air, and there is a second verse to it and all kinds of stuff.
That's cool.
So let's just play it real quick, and then we'll answer some more questions.
All right.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for all my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
Yo.
I'm in the mortuary, dead as a doornail. I'm posthumous and credulous and cold. I've got a bad case of the dead disease, paralyzing all my thoughts and bones. Someone take the brain out and slip it in my head. I can't do it for myself, cause I'm already dead. I'm thinking Frankenstein to the maximum. Shoot some lightning in the marrow of my bones, or mark an expedite on the afterlife, and push me quickly into heaven with the heave. But if I don't get in for my cause of death, I'm blaming Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
Yo,
ho, ho,
yo.
I bring the crash car.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
And do the kung fu.
Yo, ho, yo.
Now he's dead. Uh-oh. Nurse?
There you go, the great Sherwin Sleeves.
That was fantastic.
He did. You know, it was really cool. He didn't know me from Adam when I first approached him. And I guess he'd heard my name on Ron and Fez a couple of times, and I'd certainly heard his music. I mean, at this point, he'd already done Mighty Horse and a bunch of other really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found his email and emailed him and said, we're going to do a new show, and I was wondering if you'd be interested in doing some music for us. And I didn't hear from him. And I didn't want to bug him, you know, because, I mean, he's like a famous dude, right? And really talented, and I figured he was really busy. And I guess about 2 weeks later, I got an email from him, and he goes, here it is. You can have it. It's yours. Use it any way you want. And it was that.
And it was awesome.
Oh, and
it is incredible.
For me, that was the moment when Weird Medicine became a reality.
Right.
You know, when it was like, holy shit, we're really going to do this.
Yeah.
And we have the coolest theme song of anybody, you know, that anyone has ever had. So we really appreciate the great Sherwin Sleeves. And I think you can follow him on Twitter at Sherwin Sleeves. So twitter.com/Sherwin Sleeves. And he's going to be doing a one-man show where Sleeves is playing a guy named Steve King, I think. And he's a talk show host, and we're going to have a part in that. So our show will play some part in that, and I can't wait to see it because he's just a really creative dude.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. So anyway. All right.
Moving on.
Hey, Dr. Steve. This is Mongo. A couple questions. Keeping you healthy as a truck driver is a very tough thing to do. Could you run over some basic guidelines for nutrition and what kind of exercise is good that we can do as drivers, because we're very limited on the equipment that we have? Thanks.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Boy, that is an excellent question.
We Mongo's going to call in during the live show, November 7th from 9 to midnight on the Saturday Night Virus, and we're going to talk about trucker health and trucker hygiene. He has been emailing me and has some ideas about this, and so we'll talk about it now. Won't hurt a bit to bring it back up at 9 o'clock. We'll have a completely different audience, so we're going to do it early in the show. It's hard if you are basically your job is to sit on your ass and push a pedal and do some steering and try to keep it between the lines and not, you know, run off the road and, you know...
Basically drive a truck.
It is hard to stay in shape.
Right.
It really is. And until recently, it was hard to eat well on the road, too, unless you brought your own food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because where are you going to eat? I mean, there's on the road, there's Perkins.
Yeah.
And Denny's.
And all the truck stops have wonderful home cooking.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them actually do. But
yeah, really do. There's one between here and my parents' place, 3 hours away. But we stop and it's great food.
Yeah.
Not the healthiest of all food, but definitely good taste.
But if you're in a hurry, if you get a performance bonus and you don't want to stop and spend an hour someplace and you're just hauling ass and getting down the road, and so where are you going to stop? You're going to stop at Wendy's or McDonald's or somewhere like that. So it's really hard to eat well. And then how are you going to exercise? You know, you maybe spend you go to these rest areas, and there are all these guys and women, you know, basically sleeping in their trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have enough room basically to live, and that's it. So you're not going to be bringing your exercise, and you're not going to be bringing your
what's an exercise?
You know, your exercise bike.
Oh, I didn't know that it was called an exercise.
It's an exercise, P.A. John. You're the orthopedist. What do you call it?
Stationary bicycle.
Okay, well, so you're not going to bring one of those in your truck. This is what you can do, though. Anybody can fit a little DVD player in their truck, and you can fit a set of resistance bands.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I used to think resistance bands were fruity to the max, okay? If I can say to the max.
That's fruity.
resistance bands kick ass. It turns out that you don't have to carry the weight through the whole movement, as long as apparently at some point in that movement you're getting the resistance that you need. It works for the whole thing. I used to think that you had to have free weight and you had to have resistance against the whole movement, like if you're doing a curl.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the exercise physiologists tell me that that's not the case, that a resistance band will work, that you get less resistance at the front, but you get a lot of resistance at the tail end, mm-hmm. and that it all averages out. And so you still get the good workout. Well, I would recommend, and we don't get any kickbacks for this, and we have nothing to do with these people, but recommend something like P90, which is 25 minutes at level 2, which is a good workout, and they do resistance bands and just thrusts and that kind of stuff, you know, where you're and lunges and things like that, where you're using your own body as its own weight, and then you use the resistance bands for everything else. And it is a kick-ass workout. I thought, like I said, I thought resistance bands were a joke until my wife got me to do P90 with her, and I thought I was going to effing die at the end of 25 minutes of it. After doing it every day for a couple of weeks, it got to be actually fun. I really enjoyed it. I mean, mm-hmm. It was still hard, but it was just a good workout. And you can throw a set of resistance bands in a little bag, and you can do it anywhere,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think that that's the kind of exercise that you can do. I don't know if you can stand up in those back of those trucks.
I don't think so.
What we need to do, we've got a crap load of truckers who listen to this show, especially if the emails that we get and the phone calls that we get mm-hmm. are any indication. And Lady Trucker and Mongo are just two that I can rattle off, but there's a bunch. You know, Small Fry's been here. He's a trucker. And, mm-hmm. you know, we just have a lot of truckers. And I would love to get a portable recorder and just go on the road with somebody sometime and just record some of the crazy-ass shit. Mm-hmm. Trucker hygiene is a fascinating subject that we'll be talking about on November 7th. Our friend Barry the Blade, we're going to do a memorial to him on our show because he unfortunately passed away recently. And we'll be talking more about that on November 7th. I want to mm-hmm. talk about that. But he was the one that told us about crapping in a bag and throwing mm-hmm. out the window. And there were, gallon milk jugs used as urinals around mm-hmm. This country and stuff. And so I think it would be a really interesting thing to follow somebody around and just get some idea of trucker health and hygiene right. on the road, because that is there are thousands and thousands of truckers on the road, and people drive by them every day and don't think about the fact that these people, for a lot of in a lot of cases, are going from one end of the country to the other. They're living in their trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that and mm-hmm. be healthy?
Right. And some of the things, as far as nutrition goes, limiting your portion sizes, because usually at restaurants they will provide you with way more than you actually need. Also trying to go with the healthier options, fruits and nuts, things like that, when you pull up to a fruit and nut.
But you're right. You can go to McDonald's now and get a fruit and walnut salad.
Right.
And
you can get the apples instead of the French
fries.
Yeah,
it's got apples and grapes and mm-hmm. yogurt in it.
You can get a parfait, which is a little bit on the healthier side. Better than
everybody loves parfait.
Yeah, who don't like a parfait? You ever ask that about they want a parfait? They say, hell no, don't want a parfait. Anyhow, thanks, Shrek. Donkey. All right. But anyway, choosing the healthier options, and it's just making that change.
Well, you can. There is not a fast food place in the country now that doesn't sell a salad.
Right.
Nobody can tell me that a grilled chicken salad from McDonald's is not healthy. I mean, it's a reasonably healthy choice.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what you put on it, but hell, even if you put
dressing on it, it's better than the Big Mac as far as
absolutely.
Fat content.
Absolutely.
Goes.
And so those are some of the other things that you can do. Just make those reasonably healthy choices. You don't have to do it every time. You can have the big fat burger every once in a while.
Right.
And but I think the resistance bands, getting a DVD player, doing an actual program, because if you just get the resistance bands and just try to do some curls, you're going to get bored really quick.
Mm-hmm.
The getting a DVD will force you to do a certain amount of exercise. And I don't think you have to do an hour. I really like P90 because it does the 25 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and it's enough.
Right.
And then making those healthy meal choices when you go to a fast food place. I think it makes sense. I think it can be done.
You can make anything exercise. Jogging around your truck. Start out saying, I'm going to jog around my truck. And those are big trucks, right?
Yeah.
15 times. Or start out at 5 times.
Yeah.
And work your way up.
Yeah. And look like an idiot. But who cares? You're going to be healthy.
You're going to be the healthy one still living.
Yeah. Well, you know, 49 minutes ago, we started this thing after 5 minutes after E-Rock called us and told us we needed to do a show. And hell, we got 37 seconds left. So, all right. So, anyway, don't forget November 7th, Saturday Night Virus, 9 to midnight Eastern. We will be there live. Get your dialing fingers ready, everybody. Thanks to Special Delivery for giving us this time slot tonight. And thanks, as always, go out to Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, without whom this show would not exist. And also to E-Rock and Danny Ross, both producers extraordinaire. For PA John and me, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, and get off your asses and get some exercise. And we'll see you November 7th for the next edition of Weird Medicine.
Yeah, I have become comfortably numb.
Weird Medicine.
I'm just really constipated.
With Dr. Steve.
The virus.
XF202.